repentance and faith in God. I can right the wrongs of yesterday. If I messed up yesterday, I know how to get them right. I can repent and I can put my faith back in the Lord and say, okay, Lord, let's go from here. So whatever I've done is under the blood. Hey, I'm ready. I'm on board right now. Let's go. I'm refocusing. I'm reprioritizing. I'm shifting my pursuit back to what I should be running after. Hallelujah. If you can't see your future now, learn to live in the moment of obedience. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see nothing out front. I can't see what I'm supposed to be doing. Then learn how to live in the moment of obedience. In the moment of obedience now, then your path and your future will become brighter and brighter. Many times God will give you a mental picture of you doing something. You will see yourself doing something that is pleasing to God and a blessing to others. So don't hesitate or delay to obey. Just do what you see yourself doing as long as it does not contradict the word of God or the character of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't really see nothing. All right, then, live in the moment. Obey right now. What's he telling you to do right now? All right, you say, well, what's he telling me to do right now? He's telling you to love everybody. He's telling you to release anybody that's wronged you, hurt you. Forgive. He's telling you to do that right now. So I start right now. And then sometimes God will show you, you'll see yourself doing something. Like sometimes you can see yourself giving something to somebody, blessing them. And you saw yourself doing that. And you say, yeah, but that's going to cost $50. I ain't doing that. All right. See, he could have showed you something that he wants you to do right then. Go spend that $50. If he told you to do it, do it. Right? So you learn to live in the moment. What do I do next? As I do that, step by step, step by step, step by step, step by step, then my path will get brighter and brighter. And I'll begin to see more and more of what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. And how I'm supposed to be living my life. Amen. I know I'm supposed to love everybody. There's some things just given. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. I know I should talk to God every day. That's your starting point. So you don't have a reason not to start over if you done messed up. Amen. Amen. You get back in the plan and say, okay, here, Lord, I'll start from scratch. Here we go. Teach me the word. Then make some solid commitments about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Paul made some solid commitments. He said, listen, forgetting the past, that's a commitment. I'm not going to let my past be a hindrance to my future. I'm reaching forth to what's in front of me. That means I'm going to live in the moment, and God's going to show me what I need to be doing. Then Paul said this, I press toward the mark. The mark is the goal. It is the finish line. It is the distant mark in the future. It is something that you look at that's ahead of you. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark, the finish line, because I want the prize. I want the reward, which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is a crown of righteousness or eternal blessedness that has been laid up and reserved for each one of us. Glory to God.
Glory to God. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
We have a great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, stand to your feet. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this wonderful opportunity to share your word. We bless you. We thank you. We glorify you for what you shall share with us this day. Now bless both your word and your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our Reverend Robert Mays is going to be our reader today. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26.
Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses.
Amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful word to understand God's position on prayers being answered, power being granted, and the people of God walking in faith. This is a wonderful word because I think many of us wonder many times when we pray and our prayers aren't answered. Where did I miss it? Where did I miss God? I prayed according to the word. I said what thus said the word. I believed God. I did what he told me to do, and yet it appears that he's not answering me, or he has chosen not to answer me. And yet I believed. Now, this is the story that talks about the fig tree that Jesus cursed. And he cursed the tree one day and came back the next morning, and his disciples drew his attention to the tree, that it was cursed from its roots, and they marveled at it. And Jesus tells them in the 22nd verse of this 11th chapter, have faith in God. And when he tells them to have faith in God, he's making it clear to them that whatever you say, whether it's binding or loosening, whether it's speaking those things that be not as though they were, or whether or not you are coming against demonic powers, it all requires faith in operating the way that God wants us to operate. And then he goes on, and if you don't mind, read verse 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea.
Wait. Now, remember he just said, verse 22, have faith in who?
God.
In God. Now he's telling them that whoever says this, now he's talking about believers who are speaking by what?
Faith.
By faith, that they could speak to the mountain and continue.
Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass.
All right, hold up. Listen, who shall not doubt, but believe in his heart that those things shall come to pass. Now Jesus is teaching this now. Now there's a reason why verse 25 and 26 follows 24 and 23. Because as he's teaching this, there is a direct conflict with what he just said And with us understanding the rest of the verses that follow this, continue on.
He shall have whatsoever he saith.
All right. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we shout on this part. Woo-hoo, gracious God, you're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I'll have what I say. Okay, read 24.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
All right. All right, listen at this. Therefore, whatever it is, whatever. He does not put limitations on you. It's according to your faith. What your faith can believe for. However high your faith extends, whatever ability you have trusted God for, whatever the thing it is that you speak out of your mouth, listen, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Nothing too. Say, read it again. Read 24 again.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire.
Right there. What things, what?
Soever.
Soever, what ye desire. Now, he's making it clear. I'm not putting limitations on you. The question is, are you putting limitations on? All right, continue on.
When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them.
All right. Now, you again, he's just reinforcing what he said as well in verse 23. Now, let's move on to verse 25.
Read?
Read.
And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Okay. Read.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
All right. Now listen at this. Now, the game changer comes in verse 25. When ye stand, pray, forgive. First thing I need you to see is the position of prayer. Why is that so important, especially in the Eastern culture, because I want you to see what Jesus is addressing. The position of prayer, when you stand, had to do with three things, basically. One, it suggests that it was public prayer. Not only was it public prayer, because in the public, when you prayed, many folk prayed at certain walls, many persons prayed in the synagogue, many persons even prayed on street corners. As you remember the story about the publican and the Pharisee. The publican, who was a sinner, wouldn't even lift his eyes up. He humbled himself, bowed his head, beat on his chest, and asked God to have mercy upon him, a sinner. The Pharisee stood up erect and said, God, I thank you, I'm not as this sinner. And he started talking about all the things that man wasn't and all the things that he didn't do like this man, and he lifted himself up in pride. And so he stood and proclaimed that, which was one of the public displays of your piety. And so when you stand in public, it is to be seen. When you speak loudly, it is to be heard, and it is to declare personal things about yourself in your prayer. But also, when you stand publicly, even whether it's personal or if it is intended only for public, there is thirdly a protocol that you ought to follow when you stand and you pray. And that's what Jesus was dealing with when he talked about when you stand, pray. He says the next word, do what? Forgive. Now, we'd be all right if he wouldn't have said that. Forgive messes up verse 24 and verse 23 and even verse 22. Because when we don't forgive, it ushers in a whole new level of reality for us now. We talked about, listen, the position in prayer, but now I want you to see the particulars of prayer. The particulars of prayer, here they are. It is to forgive. Forgive. But then after he says forgive, he says, if you have aught against any, which could be translated, if you have aught against many, which could be translated in many other ways, but it literally means that you can't have unforgiveness in your heart for not one person. If you want God to hear you, I don't care how much faith you have, I don't care how much you believe what his word says, I don't care how much you name it and claim it, speak it and decree it, I don't care any of those things you like to say, if you do not forgive, it hinders everything you just told God. Now listen at the power of this now, because a whole lot of you don't have what you've been praying years for, months for, weeks and days for, have never gotten an answer for, because of this one word, forgiveness. You have not been blessed like you want to be blessed, desire to be blessed, because of this word, forgive. You've not been promoted because of this word, forgive. You have not been given the accolades and accomplished the things that you want to because of this word, forgive. And then those who do forgive have certain folk they forgive. I forgive some, but I ain't gonna forgive all. We'll forgive certain people who can help us, but we won't forgive those who can't do nothing for us. We'll accept it came from my head, not my heart, if I got something that I want in your hand. But when somebody made a genuine mistake and said, forgive me, it was in my head, not in my heart, you don't want to hear all of that. That's a bunch of foolishness and all the rest of that. I'm not going to forgive you. Well, my brother, my sister, Jesus is making clear that verse 24, all that you speak, verse 23, all that you believe will not come to pass if you don't forgive. Now, go back to where he says, if you have an art against any, and continue to read. But you done went to sleep. Yes, indeed.
And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
That you are forgiving others, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you. Now listen at this again, because this is important. See how the devil tried to put my reader out? I forgive him though. Now listen. The devil don't want you to know about this part of the word. Because if you know about this part of the word, then you can't use the other part of the word, believing and speaking and all the rest of that stuff, with any success when you know especially that the rest of this word follows. Now, you know, ignorance is bliss for some folk, but the true believer does not want to be ignorant. The true believer wants to know, what does the word of the Lord say about this? God says his people perish for lack of knowledge. You need to understand What God says, you need to get out of all of the tradition, you need to get out of all of the vain sayings, and you need to hear what thus saith the Lord. When I go to God in prayer and I want answers and I want him to hear my call and I want him to step up and do what he says, I've got to make sure I don't hold any animosity and any unforgiveness in my heart against anybody, my enemy included. I cannot say one thing to God and have any animosity and unforgiveness in my heart against anybody. God said, that's a conflict of whose you are. And we've got to understand that the enemy beats us not because we don't know what we ought to say and what we ought to believe, but the fact that we won't forgive. I've seen folk who could have been in higher places, blessed of God, anointed people, people who are blessed in more ways than some folk will ever be, but God won't lift them any higher because they hold unforgiveness in their heart. And my brother, my sister, my heart cries out for that kind of person. Because one, it's a miserable place to be. What they don't realize, to hold unforgiveness in your heart means to hold whatever was the reason that made you feel like you wouldn't forgive them in your heart. That pain resides there. Whatever pain, whatever problem, whatever issue that started it there, instead of you releasing it by forgiving them, it now lives and like a cancer is eating you away on the inside. Certainly eating away at the promises of God for your life. Nobody is worth my blessings because I won't forgive them. Nobody is worth my blessings because I won't forgive them. Listen, it's important to understand, because the word says that. The reason I'm forgiving them is that my Heavenly Father will forgive me. And I promise you all day long that what I'm holding in my heart against somebody in unforgiveness don't even come close to the stuff God's got against me. Let me put it another way, because only a few of you got that. When I think about what I don't like that you did, and I won't forgive you for that, when I think about all the bad stuff I've done that God has seen and recorded, and if I don't forgive you of that one thing, he won't forgive me of those 1,000 things I've done. And it's not worth it. One thing that you've done set me off. And there are many things I've done to set God off. But when I forgive you, God forgives me. It's inequitable, because God can say, for everyone person you forgive, that's one sin of yours I forgive. But when I forgive and truly forgive, it doesn't matter how many times and how many things I've done, God will forgive me, because that's his word. That's his word. Read 25 again.
Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Now, these are the particulars of this prayer that hinders, verse 24, that hinders, verse 23, and that hinders every other prayer in life. Unforgiveness. Think about this. The next time you pray, I pray the Holy Ghost will convict you, will bring back to your remembrance, your conscious mind about whomever it is you may have aught against. And that's important, because when you realize that whatever it is you have got, that aught really amounts up to naught. Let me say it another way. Whatever it is you have counted up as ought, to God, it's naught. It's not worth it. It is not worth it not to forgive them because of what you lose in the process. Listen, the devil wants you to be mad. That stops your blessing, not their blessing. Somebody upsets you, hurts you, do you wrong, says this, hurts your feelings, whatever the case, and whether they did it intentional or not, listen, they're going on with their lives. You see them next time, make me sick. You can be having a good time. They walk in the room, all your good time just walked out the door. What they doing here? Everything about that person and everything about them becomes magnified in your eyes, and that person then forgot they are even offended you, or forgot that you got an attitude, or at some point say, you know what, if they don't get over it, I've asked them to forgive me and they won't forgive me. Listen, they are released. That's you carrying around that burden. That's you remembering that. That's you bringing up that stuff 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. That's you forgotten about what it is, but you just remember that I was the one who did it. I got too many wonderful things to remember than to be remembering that mess. I forgive you before you even ask me to forgive you, because I know I've got some blessings coming and I don't want nothing to clog up my flow. I said, well, they didn't ask you to forgive them. I'm just forgiving them in advance, because I don't want my blessings hindered and I don't want my heart hardened. There's some people you know they hurt you intentionally. You know they said what they said intentionally. You knew they knew that was going to cut you. You knew they'd said what they said in the way that it would get to you. But listen at this, my brothers and sisters, you've got a right to confront them and say to you, what you said to me hurt me. Now, I'm not sure whether or not you realized it or intended it, but I wanted to bring it to your attention to make you accountable for it. Well, it's at that point they either say, listen, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to do that, or hey, sister, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, such and such. Or they can say, oh, well, I mean, I said it, and, you know, what comes up comes out. I say, in spite of the fact that you hurt me, that's how it is. Yeah, that's how it is. It is what it is. I tell you what, brother, I forgive you anyway, okay? You know, and you leave it right there. Now, here's what has happened. You have transferred all that mess you were carrying around back on them. You asked them to do the right thing by acknowledging what they had done to hurt you. Because sometimes you can hurt folk and honestly and sincerely not know you've hurt them. But once they come to you, you are now accountable for that hurt that you have created. So whether you say I'm sorry or not, you're accountable because it hurt your brother or sister. Or any man or woman, period. Because it is the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father, not the relationship they have with their Heavenly Father, but you have with your Heavenly Father. That's why you've got to understand, no matter if they cussed you out first and they swung at you first or did this first or whatever. It don't matter if it was first or last or black or white or whatever it is.